Hello and welcome to this message from Charter Oak Church. On this first Sunday of June, we start a brand new summer series called The Gospel And. This week, the focus is the gospel and grace and truth. We need to be grace people and truth people, not half grace and half truth. Grace people are pleasant to be around, but they never help us become who we should be. Truth people inspire us with their courage, but turn us off with their intimidation. Jesus was all grace and all truth. How can we be people of grace and truth?
You can be seated, and we're just going to open God's Word this morning. We're excited to see what God has to say to us, the privilege it is to hear from Him. Every week, when I bring God's Word to you, I really pray that we feel an action step, something we know we have to do. We sense that God is asking us. And if you're with us last week, I encourage you to not be baby bottle drinkers, but be meat eaters, right? Strive for maturity. So when I heard that chorus or whatever part of the song, The Battle Belongs to You, I was reminded of the encouragement to either be in God's Word, be in prayer, be in fellowship, do something specific that you can obey what God's Word is asking you to do. So just kind of do a check off in your own mind. Did you do it? Did you do something last week that had you take a step towards maturity, a step towards being a meat eater, enjoying a big fat steak? And if you're a vegetarian, a big fat squash. I don't know what it is, but whatever it might be for you, just know that we are to strive for maturity. Many of us should be teachers by now, according to Hebrews. We were challenged with that last week. Some of you would say, listen, I will never stand in front and teach like you're doing right now, Pastor Aaron. I don't believe that's exactly what it's telling you to do. It's, are you willing to teach your neighbor, your neighbors, maybe it's your own kids and your grandkids? Can you teach? Can you give God's Word in such a way? I also say on a side note, we are short just a couple preschool teachers for kids ministry. And listen, we are ready to relaunch into kids ministry. We need a few people to commit once a week, and we are ready to roll. So just say no, praise God, we are once a month. Just once a week, you'll never have a life. If you commit, we will never let you breathe again. That's what I think some are afraid of, and we are being diligent. Listen, we aren't starting. We've missed our launch date because we are committing to have a healthy team. Once a month is the commitment. Sue is not, I mean, she's not budging. So, and I don't want her to budge. So we need a couple more preschool teachers. What that looks like, just so you know, listen, we plan on having the kids with us for worship. After worship, we'll dismiss the kids into a teaching time. And so we're not talking about an hour and a half down there. We're talking about 45 minutes. The reality is, it depends on how long Pastor Aaron talks, right? So, but it's I don't want to say it's an easy ask because I don't want anyone to sign up. I want God to speak to you if you should be the one who does it. So be ready, be willing, take that step. We are transitioning this week into a new series that's called The Gospel And. We're going to be talking through difficult pieces of culture today and how the gospel can make an impact. Probably might not be the most popular sermon series out there if you're in a good feel mood, you know, a feel good mood, and you just want to feel cozy. It won't be striving for maturity, and we certainly want you if you want to feel cozy, but I want you to know that God's Word says a lot about hard stuff. And so to kind of give you a good idea of what June and July are going to look like, we have this concept that Jesus talked about of grace and truth. And so there's kind of this continuum of idea, if we can be Jesus. Whoa, I'm about to knock over Bill's guitar, and he might kill me. So I'm going to walk this way so it doesn't happen. So think of a continuum of grace and truth, and it's going to be funny watching how the praise team dances around this on the next songs. And so if we have grace on this side, great example. Grace on this side, you're just going to have to see it right here. Thank you, Vanna White. And truth over here. And what Jesus was talking through in this idea of grace and truth is this concept that is unique to us. And remember, there's three significant words here. You heard two of them that probably clicked in your mind. There's a third one you have to hear. Grace and truth, not grace or truth. We are in a culture and a time that we are or people. Let me just give you some examples. It might be justice or holiness. We might be conservative or liberal. We might be Black Lives Matter or Blue Lives Matter. The list goes on and on, but it's hard for us sometimes to recognize that it's okay to be and. I'm not talking about and on those list of things. I'm talking about specifically grace and truth. Let me read to you John chapter 1, verses 14 to 18. It'll be on the screen behind me. If you have the word, you can open it. If you don't know how to look up on your phone and you want to, because it's going to be an amazing message for you, just Google it. You'll find it. John 1, 14 to 18. Here we go. The word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who, listen, who came from the Father. He came full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' Out of his fullness, we have all received grace in place of grace already given," which I could dig that out. It's an amazing statement. Verse 17 says, "For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is in himself God and is in his closest relationship with the Father, has made him known." Let me give you some examples of what this can look like when we are grace or truth people. From the grace side, thinking through several things, grace people are very accepting. Now, grace is good, but if you're one or the other, it's not good. And we'll talk more about this, but if you have no truth in your life, but you're only a grace person, these are some of your struggles, very accepting of who we are. They don't make demands. They're always very welcoming. But here's the thing. Without truth, grace isn't really grace. It's just being accepting and nice. Being affirming and being grace-filled are not the same thing. Let me go a little bit further. Grace people without truth are pleasant to be around. And I think you could probably think of some of these people. They're super nice. They just won't tell you the truth. But we wonder if they really like us or if they're just trying to be liked. They are tolerant, but they often do not know the difference between right and wrong. They often refuse to make tough decisions, and they demand nothing from others and get nothing in return. They're just so grace-filled from a negative sense, okay? Grace people accept us for who we are, but they never help us become who we should be. Let's look at the other side, truth people. And I think you can probably think of some truth people in your life. They're straight up truth. They don't give much grace, okay? These are people that sometimes we admire because of their leadership. I mean, they're like, they're doing crazy, amazing things, and they're just so truthful at it. They have convictions and principles, which are good. They believe in right and wrong. They set standards. They speak out. But without grace, the telling the truth can become an excuse for belligerence. Truth people without grace are loyal to their cause, but we wonder if they are really loyal to us. They want to change us and make us better, but they don't allow for mistakes. They are quick to cast judgment on others. They make difficult decisions, but they also make life difficult for others and themselves. They can be slow to forgive because they don't have grace. Truth people inspire us with their courage, but turn us off with their intimidation. See, we need to be grace and truth people. Not half grace, not half truth, not exclusively grace, not exclusively truth, but all grace and all truth. But is that even possible? I mean, it's a pretty big ask. I think we lean one way or the other. So let's just go back to John 1, 14b, talking about Jesus. We've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father. He came full of grace and truth. Now, I want to lay down some biblical foundations so we have an understanding of each of them and how when they're married together, they become a beautiful principle of how we should be striving for. So what is grace? Let's just start with that. Romans 5, 6, and 8 says this, "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly." See, very rarely will anyone die for the righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. "But God demonstrated his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." That's a grace abundantly played out. You see, if you want to see grace and what it looks like, the greatest place ever to look is into the life of Jesus. See, his work on the cross was so significant in understanding grace. Jesus was born, but he was born to ultimately just to die. But here's the thing, Jesus just didn't die because the Jews and the Romans were able to put an end to his troublemaking. Jesus didn't die as an example of commitment. Jesus didn't die to demonstrate humility or that he was willing to suffer for his friends. Those are secondarily, and on many parts, there's a lot of truth in them. But the ultimate reason why Jesus died on the cross was the greatest demonstration ever of grace, and that was he died for you and me to take away the sins of the world. Amen, amen. Right? I mean, that's an abundance of grace, and this makes the death of Jesus so incredible. Jesus has given us the most unbelievable display of grace the world has ever seen. So if grace is defined, you might know the definition. Grace is unmerited favor or unconditional love from God. We don't deserve it. It's unmerited. We can't work for it. There's nothing we can do to attain it. It's unconditionally love, and it's the greatest example that Jesus was full of grace. Here's some examples. He welcomed sinners and tax collectors. And some of these jokers we wouldn't have welcomed into our own home, but Jesus did. He had compassion on the crowds when they were hungry and far from home. And it's easy for me to say I can drive by people who are hurting, and I don't always know, but it's easy to turn our backs, but we just got so much going on. Jesus couldn't do that. He welcomed the little children to come and sit on his lap. While the other religious elite said, "We don't have time for the little ones," Jesus was like, "Let them come to me because they get it. We'll help them get it faster." He healed the lepers, he healed the lame, he healed the blind. He saved the criminal on the cross who was on his dying breath, confessed to Jesus, the Son of God, and Jesus absolutely received him as his own. Grace after grace after grace. So what is truth? John 14:6, Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." I mean, that's a stamp of truth, like boom, boom. Jesus describes himself as truth. The Bible is described as truth. What we hold, what we can read, what we can meditate on is truth and is to set us free. On the other hand, oftentimes we fall prey to the tricks of Satan, the greatest liar of all. Jesus tells the Pharisees in John 8:44, "You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language. When he lies, that's his real truth coming out. For he is a liar and the father of lies." And oftentimes we fall to the tricks of Satan and the temptations of this world, who we think are going to be good and truthful in our lives, and it destroys us. We live in a culture that really is difficult to understand truth. It's a culture that's trying to get rid of truth and to get rid of the definition of what truth could even mean. It reminds me of Judges 21, 25. In those days, Israel had no king. Everyone did as they saw fit. There was no truth, no need for truth. They just tried to figure out life without a God. And I would dare say if we really look into our own lives, sometimes we live the same way. We make choices into our own life, and then we go, ugh, that was dumb. So what's the truth defined according to Holman Bible Dictionary? Truth is that which is reliable and can be trusted. Jesus was absolutely full of truth and grace. I want to take a moment and take a kid break, have the kids come on down. I want to teach them an example of what grace and truth looks like from a Jesus perspective. You guys can sit down. I'll make sure you can see everything you need to see. Good to see you guys today. As I say almost every week, this is my favorite time. And don't take that the bad way. I mean, I love you guys too, but I love the kiddos. Hey, Ruthie. So here's the thing. This concept of truth and grace combined into one can get confusing. And so there's two analogies I want to give. One would be, think of it as of a scale. And so... Jesus, make sure this doesn't fall on you, Lila. Jesus was able to understand that on the scale, if he lived truth and grace, he knew he could just live in the middle of truth and grace and be both. And so if your life is a scale, pretend like you are this cool little blue cup, and you want to be able to balance truth and grace so that it's not teetering one way, right? You don't want to fall on the grace side. You don't want to fall on the truth side. So, something like that-ish, okay? Now, what most of us do is this. This is the failings of maybe a parent of yours or a grandparent or someone that you've noticed has made some choices. Sometimes we just want to be just truth, and we kind of set grace to the side, and we think, I don't need to. I'm just going to tell them what they need to hear, but I'm not going to care if they like it. Or other times, we might live just grace lives, where we're so kind that we don't really speak the truth in love. We don't really tell people what they can hear. We just want to be so kind to them. Or what's even worse, sometimes we try and balance it. I'm afraid I'm going to hurt one of you kids here. We try and balance it on here, and it's just impossible to, I'm not going to let go of this, but let's say we try and find a balance, but we just fall, right? Like, ultimately, it hurts us. Lila's like, oh. So, kids, be like Jesus in this area. Whoa, don't be like Jesus in that area. That's too truthful. Be like Jesus from a perspective of understanding. You want to live a life of grace and truth in the fullness of both. This will give you an opportunity to have great friends where they will trust you. But also, it might sound really weird, but one day you might even be married to someone. So if you have a marriage that's full of grace and truth, you're able to speak and have hard conversations, but also give grace when needed. And so I just encourage you guys. In fact, we're going to be praying for you this week, and I'm going to take a picture of you guys right now. Can I take a picture of all the kids are in front? What are you going to say, no right now? I think you trust me. I'm going to pray specifically for these kids this week. Can you guys give me funny faces? Jenna, can you give me a look? Okay, here we go. Okay, we're going to be praying for you that you can learn what it means to be someone that's both grace and truth-filled. And it's not easy, okay? You can also really help your parents along the journey or your grandparents or your friends just to find out more what that means, okay? Let's give these kids a hand. Thanks, guys. You can go back to your seats. I would love to leave this up, but I'm afraid... we're going to hurt someone, so we're taking it down. Okay, so what is grace and truth? And to be honest, it's easy, like I just said to the kids, it's easy to be on one side or the other. If you're a grace person, you seem most concerned about being loved. If you're a truth person, you seem to be most concerned about being right, even if it means being unloved. So kind of just assess your own life and where do you think you fit? You know, ask yourself the question, where am I in this spectrum? If Jesus is full of grace and truth, that's who we are striving to be in our everyday lives. So let me ask you some questions. Why can't we serve the homeless and promote a healthy work ethic? I mean, Jesus did this. Why can't we oppose greed and stand against the destruction of property by protesters? I mean, I'm on a little bit of truth side on that one. How frustrating, these protesters. It's like, ugh. But let's just be honest. Well, we need to oppose both sides. What about this one? Jesus was great at this. Why can't we share God's truth about sexual immorality and be compassionate toward those in the LGBTQ community? Jesus, he figured it out. Why can't we? Why can't we stand for justice and extend forgiveness to those who are wrong, who have wronged us? Why can't we stand against radical Islamic terrorism and deploy missionaries to reach Muslims, people, groups with the gospel? How about this last one? Why can't we stand up for what is right and do it in love with a gentle words of truth, speaking truth and love? Jesus did these examples, and I think it's an encouragement to us to be reminded, and I would dare say in our culture, in our society, right here in southwestern Pennsylvania, why can we not be loving to no matter what color skin someone has as compared to joking about it? Why can't we always show the love of Jesus to everyone at all time by being grace-filled and truth-filled? See, Jesus didn't give us an example of, just give us an example of grace and truth. He came to be grace and truth, and he was grace and truth. It's who Jesus was. And let me just say to you, maybe you're listening or maybe you are here today and it's the first time that this idea is like, it's like hitting your mind and you're saying, wow, this is sinking into my heart and I realize I want to take that step. I'm ready to take a step of understanding more about what grace and truth truly is. Maybe you're someone who's never taken a step toward Jesus. Look what Jesus said in Matthew 11, 28. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. How about that grace moment? Or this truth moment from Jesus. Jesus replied, John 8, 34 through 36. Very truly, I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you are free indeed. See, here's what Jesus is telling us today. He wants us to know the importance of the graciousness that we can live by speaking truthfully in a way with grace. And I pretty much bet that most of us lean on one side of the spectrum. And so I'm encouraging you this week to take a step towards what that means to be more like Jesus. If you are a truth person, live more in grace and equate, put those two together. And if you're a grace person, come to truth. Final example of what it can all look like. Imagine with me a room full of skeletons. Truth. Now a skeleton, if you only had bones sitting here, is pretty much, we all look the same, and I'm going to say we're all truthful, we're all ugly. Okay, it's just, we don't look good. So what Jesus did is he wrapped us in grace. And the outside of us, let's say grace is on the outside of us, if the bones are the truth side of us, if we could be wrapped in grace, it gives us different different looks, different abilities, different talents, and it's showcased in how God's made us. And so this week, if you think of yourself in truth and grace, how can you be more like Jesus and be full of both? Let us pray. Dear Lord, as we go before you, allow us to be willing to not just hear what you say, to hear what your word has said, but to do something about it. For if we are not willing to obey your word, I would dare say we might not be a follower of you. So I pray that our hearts have heard what you desired us to hear today, and that we are willing to take action, not in this moment, but throughout this week, that is reminded throughout the week that it starts now and we take the step. Maybe for some of us, we have places in our lives that we are not going to give grace because we are so exhausted. So God, help us out. Give us the strength we need to give grace even though we are tired. Maybe we're on the other side that we've given so much grace and we're really afraid to give truth. We're afraid to hurt a friend. We're afraid of what it could mean. So God, give us the wisdom to find out what that means in you. And I think of someone who could be here today, whether it be a child or an adult, someone who is listening, who has never received your grace, has never received your truth through the word, knowing that Jesus came to die for them. He died on the cross for them, but he was raised 3 days later, proving that he could get rid of death for all time. Knowing that we are sinners, and because of that, he has made a way for eternal life. And so today, if someone is willing to repent of their sin, knowing they have done wrong, and believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, they too can be saved and have an understanding of what grace and truth is as they take steps in their journey with you, dear God. We pray all these things in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Charter Oak Church. You can listen to messages from previous sermon series on our website by going to the Resources tab and clicking on Sermons. You can also listen to previous messages on the Charter Oak Church app. Until next week, God bless, and have a great week, everyone.